Peter. As we go to prayer, let us remember Eddie in our prayers tonight. He had a fall and broke his hip, and he's in the emergency room in Northside now, waiting for a surgery probably tomorrow morning. And he's in a lot of pain. I briefly talked to him, and I believe Gail talked to him. He cannot speak much, but let us keep him in our prayers, and especially as he's going through this pain, that God's grace be upon him, and also the surgery that he has to face tomorrow morning. Just pray that God will guide the doctors and the technicians who do that to do the right thing. So let us keep him in our prayers. Let us pray. Almighty God, thank you for this night that you have given us to come together on this Good Friday to remember the sufferings that you took upon yourself for our sake, so that we don't have to suffer the eternal punishment of death. Thank you for taking up the cross for us. Thank you for leaving the throne in heaven and coming down to this earth to live like one of us in human flesh and body, and also to suffer the torturous suffering that you had to go through by the Roman soldiers and the religious leaders. And you took up the crown of thorns on your head so that we can get the crown of glory when you come back with your crown in the kingdom that you are going to bring this to this world. Thank you for giving us this privilege to be your children, Lord, because of the work that you have done through your death. We thank you for the opportunity to come together as your children. A lot of us have different kinds of burdens in our hearts, in our bodies, in our minds. We especially lift up Eddie in your hands as he is waiting at the hospital, going through a lot of pain because of his fall today. We pray that your healing hand will touch him, Lord. Comfort him with your presence as he is going through the pain. We pray that you will support him with your angels. And we pray for the surgery that he has to face tomorrow morning. We pray for your guidance for the doctors and the nurses and all those who have to do the procedure, to be guided by the Holy Spirit, that it will be a successful one, that he can come back recovered. Be with him through this process. We pray for all of those who are going through pain and suffering during this time in various ways. You are our comfort when we are suffering. You are our peace when we go through difficulties in our times of sorrow. You are there always listening to our prayers and knowing every beats of our hearts. Thank you for always being there. Bless us, Lord, as we come before you to this service, your Spirit will draw us to yourselves, and also the whole world to yourself. Grant that we who glory in your death for our salvation may also glory in your call to take up the cross and follow you. Thank you for giving us this privilege as your children to come together. Bless us this service tonight and all those who are gathering in your name tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. The service order is, we have two long scripture readings. The first scripture reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 17 through 30. And then we'll have a hymn. And then there's a second scripture reading that is the continuation of the same chapter, John 19, 31 through 42. So if you are able, please stand for the scripture reading.
Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, Do not write, the King of the Jews, but that this man be claimed to be King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who will get it. This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, Woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, Here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, It is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please remain standing for the Rock of Ages hymn that we are going to sing together. 361, it will be on the screen as well.
Rock of Ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wound excite me slow. Be your sin a double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my life shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on the judgment throne, rock of ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee.
Please remain standing as we continue with the scripture reading.
Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man, who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. It's the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Yesterday, last night, we gathered together and celebrated the Holy Communion that reminded us of the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples on the night before his crucifixion. During that supper, he gave the cup to his disciples and the bread he broke and said, "This is my body given to you, and this is my blood that is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me until he comes." That's what he instituted, the sacrament of Holy Communion that night. So the cup that he instituted on that night is the cup of remembrance that we remembered last night. Tonight And also, after that supper, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed, and we saw that he prayed with agony. So much agony and pain in taking of the suffering and the sin over to himself. And we saw and read that his sweat came out like blood, that much of agony that he was going through. He took the cup and he prayed there in that garden that, "Father, if it is possible, take this cup away from me. But it is not my will, but your will be done." And he took that cup, the cup of suffering in that garden, and gave himself up to that cause. In Luke chapter 22, we read that he withdrew about a stone's throw away from the disciples who were there praying with him. He left them there and we went about a stone's throw away to the front and started pleading with the Father. Jesus is always a stone's throw away from any of us. Even the disciples and the apostles, he is always ahead of everyone. He's beyond a stone's throw away. With all the religious leaders of the world and the apostles and the prophets, Jesus is always ahead of them, beyond them. He will always be greater than anyone ever lived and anyone ever will live. He is the Son of God, but he is also the Son of Man who took up the suffering. To the Jews, he was the long-awaited Messiah of Christ. But he was not the Messiah that they were expecting. He is the good shepherd who came to give his life for his sheep. And Paul says in his letter that he is the name above all names, and at his name every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. No matter how many people live in this world and how many people have come and gone, Jesus will be always greater than any of those who have been here. When he was alive, he preached that he is greater than Father Abraham, and they didn't like that. And he said he was greater than Father Jacob, who gave him the well to draw water from there. And he said, those of you who drink this water from this well of Jacob will thirst again. But the water that I'm going to give you, or I will give you, you will never thirst once you drink from me. Not only that, it will become a spring of blessing to this world through you, spring of water. He is greater than Father Abraham and Father Jacob. And he said, continued to say that he is greater than Moses. He is greater than King Solomon. And he is greater than the prophets and greater than the temple, even that they considered to be the greatest institution. So that is why he said, you destroy this temple and I will rebuild that in 3 days. And they thought that he was going to destroy the temple. None of these messages hit them, even though these were all written in the scriptures that Jesus was quoting. They did not understand it. He was talking about his body, the temple. That will be destroyed, and in 3 days, the third day, he will rise from the dead. And he prayed in that garden, one stone's throw away beyond them, tells me that he is the one, the sinless Lamb of God, without sin, without blemish, who came to take up this cross. And that's the cup that he took, and willingly took that cup, the second cup. Then we saw tonight that while they tried him and tortured him and took him to the streets of Jerusalem to Golgotha, and he was crucified between two thieves. And there he was in agony and pain, hanging on the cross on the nails. And here we see the Son of God asking for a drink. He said, I thirst. That's the second cup that he was going to drink. And we read there that they mixed up some wine with something called gall and put it on a reed of papyrus or some plant and gave it to his lips. And at first he refused to drink it. And many people, theologians say that he refused to drink it because it was mixed up with that gall, which is some kind of an anesthetic to lessen the pain they usually give to people who are crucified like that on the cross. But in the beginning he refused to drink that because he knew that it was going to be anesthetic and he did not want that. He wanted to take the pain, the full pain on his body, that he did not want to be anesthetized. And finally they gave him, at the end of his living moments in this world, they put him in his mouth and he drank it. That was the ultimate drink that he drank. And then he said, it's finished, and gave up his spirit to the Father. That's the third cup that he did. But that did not end there. The first cup that he shared with the disciples in the Last Supper, he said, I will not drink from this anymore until I drink it with you when I come back again. So the good news is that there is going to be another cup that he is going to drink with all of us together. The glorious day when we will all be joining together with Christ and we'll be sharing from that cup, the cup of salvation that he gave us, and we'll be all dining with him one day together. The cup that he is yet to drink. In place of the Last Supper of Jesus, he instituted the Supper of Remembrance, what we call the Lord's Supper. And the the cup that he told us to remember, that there is a cup that we are going to be drinking together with him in his second coming. The words of Jesus represents to us an absolute certainty of our salvation. No doubt it is ours to receive, and we are saved as children of God. It is also representing that the absolute certainty that he is going to come again, and we will have a supper with him, that he will not have to suffer, and we do not have to suffer anymore. There will be a great feast of Christ and his church. We read that in Revelation chapter 19. Come unto me, and he said, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage of the supper of the Lamb. Then Christ with us shall drink the cup of blissful, eternal, and perfect salvation. That's what we are waiting for, a cup that we are going to drink together with him in that blessed day together. Not only us, but also those who have gone before us and those who will come after us. In Christ, we will all be joined together, and in that glorious day we'll be drinking and dining together with him. That is why we have Good Friday. That's why we rejoice tonight, even though it is one of the starkest days of Jesus' life. Because of his pain, we don't have to suffer any more pain. Because of the death he took, we don't have to fear death anymore. There is an Easter day coming when we will be all raised from the dead. May these words bless you as we go from this place, that we'll be reminded of his second coming and the cup that we are going to drink together. May God bless you with these words as we leave tonight. Dear brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ, who was and is God, did not consider himself to be God, rather humbled himself by taking the nature of a servant, became a human being and gave himself for us, up for death, even the death on a cross. He suffered the physical pain of torture and death, and he suffered the mental pain of humiliation and mocking on the streets of Jerusalem. He suffered the spiritual pain by experiencing the feeling of rejection by the Father as he hung on the cross and the sun refused to shine. Jesus Christ is always our example and guide for overcoming the pains of our lives, physically, mentally, and spiritually. So let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He has given us rest by his sorrow and life by his death. Go in peace. May the one who bore the pain for us be your comfort in your pains. May his presence be with you in grief and loneliness. And may his peace abide and keep you during this night and forever. Amen. Go in peace.